Good morning, everybody. Oh, this is just amazing. I'm just sitting here appreciating the fact that we're trying to be a revival church on the one hand and a family church on the other. Isn't it fun? How many came for a big drink this morning, though? Lift up your hands to heaven and say, oh, Holy Spirit, will you come and fall upon me now? In Jesus' name. Okay, now lay hands on yourself or someone near you and say, take the anointing, take the fire in Jesus' name. Okay. We've been meeting the last couple of days, being Friday and Saturday. We had Chester and Betsy Kilster with us, and also their friends who joined in to help us walk through a process of prayer and freedom and deliverance for our whole church and our ministry. And so it was very, very good. So Chester and Betsy, why don't you come and just say hi to our folks. These are dear friends who have ministered to us over the years many, many times. So just say hi to them. Would you do that?
Hi.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good to be back with you. It's just a wonderful spirit here this morning. So I'm not quite drunk, but I'm close.
Go ahead and explain.
Okay, John's asked me to explain what we did. And for those of you who don't know Restoring the Foundations Ministry, Lord showed us many years ago that every single person has four sources of problems. Now, if you don't have any problems, then you don't need to listen to this. But for the rest of us, we all have four sources of problems. From our dearly beloved ancestors, that comes out of the second commandment. From the hurts that we get, mostly growing up, but also as adults. And that's why Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. We need, out of those hurts and out of our families we grow up in, we make decisions about how the world works. And so the Lord's, that's why he had Paul write in Romans 12:2, we need to have our minds renewed. Remember, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because we make decisions about how the world works that are not in agreement with what God says. Okay? And that all gets us in big trouble because there's big sins there. And then the demons take advantage of all that and then keep the whole thing going around and getting worse. And so the fourth area is the demonic oppression. And the key is not that there are four areas, that's bad enough, but that each one holds the other three in place. So when you go to get ministry, you want to make sure you deal with all four of them. So that's what we do with individuals. What the Lord showed us about 10 or so years ago is that groups of people need a very similar kind of ministry. Groups of people, when they come together and form an organization like a church, like what used to be TACF and is now Catch the Fire, or a business, we particularly enjoy ministering to businesses, because these areas, these sources of problems, hold us back from all that God has for us, hold us back from the fullness, keep us from getting jobs and things like that. That's an interesting thought. And so what we've found is if we'll minister to the sins of the founding fathers, what did the people who started the organization, what did they bring in with them? Hallelujah.
My sins and John's sins.
Usually it's more than one person starts an organization. So there's a group, collective effect going on. Plus then, pretty much every organization occupies land and has structures or buildings. Few exceptions in today's internet world, but generally speaking. So we get the sins of the fathers who were on the land before you showed up. So they gather together. So all that collectively then needs the same thing. We have to deal with the attitudes that are prevalent in the organization. We call that the culture, the ungodly culture. Organizations have wounds. If you've ever gone through a church split, you've experienced that, unfortunately. And organizations have principalities. over them. So whereas us as individuals have personal demons, organizations have corporate demons and principalities. So anyway, we just dealt with that. To whatever extent those things were affecting Catch the Fire Church, we wanted to help eliminate them so you can more fully, even more than already, fulfill your destiny. Know God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, John.
Oh, Chester. Yeah, we had a wonderful day, well, yesterday and Friday as well, going through all of these things. So I just want to ask you, how many could you tune in on the feel of things this morning and the atmosphere? How many feel like, I don't know what it is, it feels lighter in here or something. I just feel, anybody? Do I get a witness? Anyone? How many businessmen would say, hey, I would like that for my company? Anyone? And, maybe for your office, I don't know. But the enemy seems to be committed to hindering what God wants to do. But how many are thankful he loses? Jesus wins. So all we have to do is humble ourselves and confess and repent and forgive and all that kind of stuff, and miracles begin happening. Pray for your friend one more time. Just say, may the glory of God come.
Amen.
I will.
Sue, are you able to put me on the screen with my notes? So church, we are beginning today. Yes, by the way, Chester does have a book on transforming your business. So that's what we did as an organization on Friday and Saturday. So we spent a lot of time yesterday just praying through, and we'll be letting you know some of the things as we get ready to release them. We are beginning a sermon series called The Afterlife, and we're going to be talking about a number of different things, and the talk that I was planning on doing today, I'm going to postpone till next Sunday. So we decided to do sort of an introduction before we talk about hell. So hell is next week. A place to avoid. So we're going to talk about the reality of hell, those kind of things. And then Linda Dumpkin in two Sundays is going to talk about heaven and what's heaven like and can we bring heaven to earth. And then the last talk, which will be maybe four or five Sundays from now because we have a couple guest speakers coming up, we're going to talk about the word believe, because the Bible says to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Yes? So what does it mean to believe? So those are the four different talks that we're going to be talking about. So this morning, Sue, are you ready? There we go. So we are in a society that shapes culture. Every country, every subsection of society shapes and has ideas of what happens and what's right. And sadly, the Christian church is supposed to be influencing culture, but a lot of times our culture influences us. And one of the most dominant thoughts in Canadian culture, not just Canada, but is that there's everybody gets to go to heaven. All roads lead to heaven. Doesn't matter what you believe, doesn't matter what you follow, this is where you go. And so we're just going to be asking some of those questions, talking about that, and I find it very interesting that if that's true, why did Jesus spend so much time warning us? Like, why did he say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved? Like, what? If everyone goes to heaven, why do you need to be saved? If everyone goes to heaven, why did Jesus die on a cross? So there's a whole bunch of different things. And it's very interesting that most other faiths don't believe this. The Muslims don't believe that everyone's going to heaven, just them. You understand that? Hindus believe that everyone's going to heaven. But a whole bunch of other groups, Buddhists don't. There's most faith groups in our world today believe that they're going. And they all have their reasons for that. So the fact that there's also sort of like a pluralistic thing that everyone's opinion's right, we don't criticize anyone else's opinion, we're all going the same place. So here's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Read that next part with me. No one comes to the Father except through me. I love the fact that the Bible is very, very clear. This words from Jesus himself, not Peter, not Paul, not Steve Long. Jesus himself says, no one goes to the Father except through me. It's just a very foundational, very simple passage in the scriptures. So then we have what's called Christian universalism, which takes a twist on that and says, it's true. Everyone gets to heaven, but it's because of what Jesus has done. And so there are denominations that would say, because Jesus died on the cross, now everyone can go to heaven. So it's not just like anyone can go to heaven. It's because Jesus died on the cross, and you don't really need to believe in Jesus. That's why he came, was to make an open way so that whatever you believed, anyone can go to heaven. And there are churches that would teach that. The truth is that most religions don't believe that. Then there's evangelicals. We are an evangelical church. Evangelicals believe the evangel. We believe the message. We believe the gospel, that Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. And in charismatic Pentecostal evangelical churches, there is a sort of a newer theme, which is that Jesus saves, or God saves through Jesus Christ, and if you deny Jesus, you miss out. If you haven't heard of Jesus, if you've rejected God's revelation, you will be judged and you'll go to hell temporarily. And so they've added this little temporary phrase, and they say that because they believe that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God is so predominant that how could God love people and not want anyone to perish? And so God must make a second chance for everybody. So yes, you do go to hell if you've rejected God, rejected Jesus, but while you're there, you get a second chance to believe in Jesus Christ because of the love of God. God doesn't want anyone to be perished, doesn't want anyone to miss out, and so he will give you a second chance. So we're going to talk about that. There's another view that's called annihilationism. And basically, that is that once you've served your time in hell, you just cease to exist. You're burnt to a crisp and there's nothing left of you. And this is a very popular theme in most of our Western world, is that people say, once you die, that's just it. It's over. So this one is combined with pluralism. But there's a whole bunch of people that think everyone's going to heaven, and there's others who say, well, I don't think there is a heaven. I think when you just die, it's done. Very interesting, when Osama bin Laden was captured, a lot of people were angry in America, and so there was a poll on CNN. How many people believe Osama bin Laden will be in hell? And it was like a huge percentage. And then the next question was, do you believe in hell? And there was far lesser. So it was like, okay, well, those things don't really go together. This is the traditional view that the Christian church has had all through church history, and it's the view that our church believes in. Those who reject Jesus will be judged on the basis of that. And those who've not responded to Christ will suffer eternal and conscious separation from God in hell. That's not nice. It doesn't sound inviting. And yet it seems to be the truth of what the Bible is going to be teaching. So you just need to know that throughout history, as different councils and groups have met, that this, what we believe as a church, is that there is a heaven and a hell, and hell is for those who reject Jesus. Heaven is a place for those who accept Jesus. That this is what the Christian church through the ages, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Orthodox Church, have been holding to. And the very first time it came up in a big way was the Second Council of the Christian Church back in 553. Let's talk about God's will. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says, God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So does God get what God wants?
Yeah.
How many think yes, God always gets what God wants? Not too many hands up, a few hands. Well, we're going to talk about that. God has two different kinds of wills. There is the will of God, which is absolute and is going to happen. Heaven and earth will pass away. No, we don't get any choice on that. That will happen. But then there's the general will, which is the desire of God, the hope of God. And that would be like, this is what God would like, but now we have the choice of making a choice. We get to choose, do we follow after God? And so here's a verse in Matthew chapter 7. There we go. That was my little warning that I got 10 minutes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This is what Jesus said. Remember we just looked at the Timothy passage. God wants everyone to be saved, yes? He doesn't want anyone to perish. We understand that. That's God's hope. That's God's intent. But Jesus said, not everyone is actually going to choose me. And he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. but only one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus is talking about different kingdoms. And some people don't choose the kingdom of heaven. So two quick little implications here. Number one is not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. So those who think everyone is getting there, Jesus said, not true. And those who believe that God gets his way on this one, then everything that God wants is going to happen. Actually, I believe that this is in the second will of God, not the absolute will of God, but is in the desire of God, is that everyone would make a choice. And Jesus says not everyone is going to make that choice. If you're here this morning and you haven't made that choice, we're going to give you an opportunity to make a choice this morning. That's good, isn't it? Give your neighbor a little elbow and say, we get to make a choice today. So let's look at the question about, is there a second chance? And I'm trying to be very honest with you, is I can't find a single passage that says that we get a second chance. I just can't find any of those kind of passages in the scripture. I'm going to look at one in just a moment. Some of you were here about four Friday nights ago. We had a gentleman by the name of Ian McCormick from New Zealand. He gave a testimony of while he was surfing in Mauritius that poisonous jellyfish, five of them stung him. One jellyfish can kill 60 people, and he got stung by five, and how he was going in and out of consciousness. And just before he entered into eternity, the Lord slowed down time, is what he said. And as he was calling out, and he's not believing in God and any of those kind of things, and all of a sudden he remembers that his mother is a follower of Jesus. And he remembers that his mother would pray the Lord's Prayer with him. And so he's calling out to God, and he's going, he realizes that God has been with him, that God's been talking to him as he's trying to get to a hospital and get some help. And he realizes that it's God that's doing this, and he goes, God, there was a prayer that my mother used to pray, I forgot it, what is it? And the Lord would give it to him phrase by phrase. And in his testimony, he shared that right when he was leaving consciousness and about to enter into eternity, the Lord slowed down time. Actually, it's the other way. Slowed down time. And he had a window where it was like a second was like minutes. And at that last moment that he was able to go through the final part of the prayer to forgive people, to invite Jesus to be part of his life, and instantly was in the presence of God. So He says, based on his experiences, that God gives not a second chance, but he gives a chance right for many people, right at the very last moment, is what he believes. However, the Bible says this. Oh, so here it is. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed for men to die how many times? Once, and after that, the judgment. Not after that, the judgment, and then another chance. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that there's one opportunity and that we would need to make a conscious choice before we enter eternity, not after we enter eternity. Mark Stibbe is a wonderful friend of our church. He's a former Anglican vicar in England and teaches on the Father's love. And this is what he wrote in his blog. God's love is not just expressed in terms of affection, but is also expressed in terms of anger. This anger is traditionally known as God's wrath, and I define that as God's righteous and measured anger over human sin, demonic wickedness, and social injustice. If we stress affection alone, we will love him but not fear him. If we stress his anger alone, we will end up fearing him but not loving him. If we stress both together, we will have a healthy love and a healthy fear of the Lord, healthy fear of the Lord. How many of you that have given your life to Jesus got scared into the kingdom of heaven? You heard a heaven and hell sermon. Can I get you to put your hands up? That's me. I was 7 years of age, and I couldn't spit. I was scared spitless, as it were. I can't remember if I couldn't spit or whatever. But I just remember I was so afraid of dying. I heard so many things about the rapture. I saw some of those movies. My dad was preaching on that. I'm a pastor's kid. And I can remember coming home from school and my mom not being there, and I had a stay-home mom. I'm the oldest of six kids, and there's little kids. And where's mom? Everyone's gone. I missed it. And then mom would come down the street pushing a stroller and I'd go, and I kept putting it off. And I would say, oh, Jesus, I need to invite you into my life. And I see my mom, oh, okay, I don't need to do it right away. And that happened four or five times. And a gentleman talked about the anger of God. And it was very It was very real to me, and I was saved because of the fear of God. That's okay. It is better to be saved because you know that God loves you. How many of you give your life to Jesus because you know that God loves you? That's a whole bunch more hands. I think that's a healthier way to go. However, what Mark is saying is that sometimes if we're just thinking love and grace, we miss the fact that God is an all-rounded God and that there is a righteous anger. And when we read the scriptures about the wrath of God being poured out on Jesus while he was on the cross, like, God was not nice to his own son while he had your sin and my sin on the cross. And God's righteous anger that someone has to pay a price for your sin and my sin. Someone has to pay that price. And Jesus put his hand up in eternity past and said, I will do that. And so he came to earth, born, we celebrate at Christmas Day, died over Easter weekend, was raised to life 3 days later. That's the element of the Christian faith, is that those things are real. And it's not just that it's real, it's because someone had to be punished for your sin and my sin. And a loving God didn't want to do that for you. And a loving Savior called Jesus Christ decided that you needed saving. I needed saving. And he became our Savior. But the Bible's very clear, and we're going to get to this in week number 4, that we need to do something about it. We need to make a choice. Sue, one more. So if people who don't know Jesus are lost, and we use that expression in church, they're not saved yet, what's our response? And Paul in the book of Romans says, well, actually, we need to be the ones who are telling other people. We need to be the ones that are talking to our friends, talking to our family. And this is a challenge because a lot of us are shy people, aren't we? I'm a little bit of a shy person. I'm a little bit of an extrovert. I just happen to have the wrong job. I have to be in front of people for my job. But it's not that easy for me. I'm having to train myself. Sandra and I, on Friday night, we were at, Noel Richards was leading worship here, and he hadn't had an evening meal yet. We hadn't had an evening meal, so we went to Canyon Creek Restaurant just down the street here. And I know many of the staff and the manager, a gal named, I won't say her name, but one of the managers came over, saw us there, and I'd prayed for her in the past. She had her back healed, and so she sees me. She gives us VIP treatment in the sense that our bill is reduced, which is always nice. I didn't know I was a VIP, but apparently if you heal someone's back, you get special treatment. And Sandra and I are professional eaters. I don't know if you realize that. But we were taking visiting pastors, and we're in restaurants in this area a lot. And so that's where I do my stuff. And so we started talking to her, and she sits down beside Noel. Sandra and I on one side, Noel's there. She sits down beside Noel. She's like in her late 20s probably, and talking to us about dreams that she's getting. And these are tormenting dreams. And we just began to talk to her about, we volunteered to go and pray through her house and cleanse her house and just the reality of all those kind of things. And it was a great, it was the deepest conversation we've had yet. But she's a gal that believes that doesn't really matter what I do, everyone's going to heaven. And so we're beginning to just talk about those kind of things with her. So who gets to go to heaven? One of the most famous verses in the Bible. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever, what's the word? Believes. So we're going to really define this in a few weeks. We're going to talk about this word. Believes in who? Jesus. Not another faith. Believes in Jesus. They shall not perish, which means, like, if God says this, you're not going to perish. Well, is Father not implying that there is a punishment for people who don't believe? It's not just you're going to have a bad day, but it's like, this is serious. We need saving from something, don't we? We won't perish, but have eternal life, which is heaven. So next week we're going to get into into the hell part, and then in a couple weeks we're going to get into the heaven part, which is going to be a much nicer sermon. And I just want to encourage you that this is part of our culture, and so maybe you're here today and you're going, well, I did think that everyone gets to go to heaven. Well, can I encourage you, in your bulletin is a little rough outline of the verses that we've looked at today, and for you to read those verses again, think about this a little bit more. If you'd like to have all of my notes, you can just write to me, slong@catchthefire.com, and I'll send you the PowerPoint. Okay, so we're going to have two prayers this morning. The first prayer is for those of us who are followers of Jesus, and just to really commission us again to be a little bit more active than we are about sharing our faith. How many of you believe I could be a little bit more active? If the Bible's true, and my family and friends who haven't begun a relationship with Jesus, that there's consequences, I probably need to be the one. They may not have a lot of other influences. I probably am one of the people that needs to do that. The second prayer we're going to have is what I talked about already, which is for those of you that have not yet become a follower of Jesus, and we'll do that. So church, let's stand up. So I got three little questions here as to, or not three questions, but three sort of little, what would be the reason why you find it difficult to share your faith? So I put three possibilities here, but there may be other things for you. And I'd just like you to be honest to God right now. You're not going to tell anyone else what this is, but just between you and God, what is it that hinders you from talking to other people about Jesus and the reality of an afterlife? Do you know what it is? How many of you know what it is? Maybe it's on the screens. Okay? A whole bunch of you don't know what it is. here's the good news. Jesus can help you right now. Just say, Jesus, what's really the issue for me? Just ask him that. What's really the issue for me that would stop me from talking to other people? Maybe it's I don't believe in heaven and hell. Maybe it's I'm really not sure that the Bible's true. Could be all sorts of different things. Just close your eyes right now. Holy Spirit, you're able to lead us into truth. That's what the Bible teaches. Jesus himself, when he was getting ready to go to heaven, talking to his best friends, he said this, the Spirit of truth will guide you, will lead you, will help you to discover truth. And Jesus said this, when you find truth, there's freedom that comes. And so, Father, I'm asking that whatever the fear is, whatever the lie is, whatever the ungodly belief is, that you would now speak to us about our part. Now, I'd like you to just to talk to the Lord right now and say, I'm just going to give you an example. If it's fear of how other people are going to react, and say, Jesus, I'm really afraid about how my family will react if I tell them about you. And listen for Jesus to speak truth into your spirit right now. You may get a thought, you may get a picture, you may hear some words, but just listen. Whatever it was that was your excuse, tell it to Jesus and listen. See what he says to you. Because in this room, there's probably like 500-600 adults here this morning. So there's probably 400 to 500 different reasons, and Jesus has an answer for you. Put your hand up if you feel that Jesus has spoken something to you. Put your hand up. Just pull it up real quick. Put it down afterwards. Okay? I'll give you another 10 seconds here. So Jesus, would you come and speak to us today? Thank you, Father. If there's a place that we need saving from, Father, we're probably part of the team. I'm using the word probably, because I know that God's able to bring revelation all different ways, but his primary way throughout the Bible has been people. People communicate to people. And the Apostle Paul in that book of Romans, the passage you just looked at, talked about that how will people hear unless there's a messenger? And how will they hear a messenger unless someone goes? Someone proactively decides. So just with your eyes closed again, Father, I'm asking that you would root out whatever lie there is, and as we've heard a truth, put that into our soul, into our spirit, into our mind, into our will, into every part of who we are, and we just begin to believe that if that's true, I can be used by the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you that just as Prakash was telling about he's needing a job and he prays, or actually he didn't even pray, he's having a sleep, and God spoke to him and said, your job is at Winners. That's where to go. You'll get a job there. That just as God's able to do that about a job, he's able to give you words to say. He's able to give you words to say. Okay, church, look at me. How many of you, after you've had a conversation, have felt, I've blown that. Oh my goodness. If I had only said this, this, or this, or this, it would have been much better. How many of you had second thoughts, better ways to say it? Can I ask you a simple question? Who was just talking to you? Who was just training you on the next time how to say it better? Ah. Holy Spirit was with you, and He wasn't upset that maybe you didn't say it the best way. He was right there to give you truth that the next time, oh, I should have said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was your Father. That's how close He is. That's how much He enjoys when you step out, that He's right there for you. Did you know that? I used to be all this condemnation. Oh, I can't. No, no, no. That was the lie from the enemy. Jesus was giving me, next time, do it like this. Next time when you pray, do this or do this. I was being set up. I was being trained by my Father in heaven. So, Father, we thank You. Just close your eyes and put your hands up again. Father, we thank You that You are with us. Even when we think we blow it. Even when we think, I didn't do it right. I didn't say it right. Father, thank You that You are training us. You are actively speaking to us. You're helping us to get it better for the next time and the next time and the next time. Thank You, Father, that You're with us. Now, number two prayer that we have today is if you're in this room and you've not made a choice, because that's what Jesus said, not everyone's going to choose to have eternal life. Not everyone's going to choose to have heaven, and you do need to make a choice, is what the Bible says. A lot of people say, well, if there's a loving God, why would He refuse me from going to heaven? That's a popular theme in our world today. If there's a loving God, of course He's going to let me into heaven. Well, let's look at the other side of the coin. Would a loving God force you to be with Him forever when you didn't want to be with Him on planet Earth? Have you thought of it that way? If you don't want to have God as part of your life right now, well, why would He want to have you? Why would He force you to be with someone you don't want to be? Have you thought about that? If you're here this morning, and just what I've said and maybe what your friends have told you, and you're ready to become a follower of Jesus and to give your life into His hands and have Him be your helper, your guide, your Savior, how about you say this prayer with me? In fact, church, how about all of us say this prayer? Just close your eyes one more time. And this prayer is based on some of the teaching of Jesus when He was teaching people in the scriptures and talking about in John 3 and John chapter 4. Dear Jesus, I acknowledge that You're real. And the Bible says You're the Son of God. And the Bible says that You are the way to our Heavenly Father. No other way, just through You. And the Bible says that You died for my sins. It's my sins that separate me. The things that I've said, the things that I've done, the thoughts that I've had. And I can't get rid of my sins. I need a Savior. And Jesus took away my sin. If I give Him my life, He does a trade. Life comes to me. My death sentence goes to Him. And today, I choose life. I choose eternal life to come to me. And by the way, friends, eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts right now. I choose that. Thank You, Jesus, for coming and being with me. Now, church, Luke, you can look at me again. If you've never prayed that kind of prayer before, or you're reconnecting with Jesus, can I get you to do something a little bit bold? We've had people put their hands up for different things. Would you be willing to put your hand up and say, I just prayed that prayer as well? So where are you, friends? Over here. Other people, where are you? Over here. Other folks in the room, come on. Don't be embarrassed about this. You're connecting with Jesus for the very first time, or you realize you need to do a reconnection. How about you turn to your neighbor? You've already got to know your neighbor. You've already elbowed them. You've already prayed for them. Talk to your neighbor and say, if you need to say that prayer, you need to do something, I want to encourage you, I'll help you. Just talk to your neighbor. Remember, this is practice now. Can I get the gentleman over here and the gentleman over here? Anyone else, if I miss seeing your hand, can I get you folks to just come on up to the front right now? So come on up here, sir. If you had a friend, bring your friend as well. Are there others this morning? What's your name?
Al.
Hey, Joshua. Good. There's a young gal over here as well. Good. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand. What's your name? Victoria. Church, let's stretch our hands towards these people. So here's what we're doing, folks. When you made a choice, God said, I saw your hand, he saw your heart, he heard your words. And what he promises to do is to come and be with you on the inside. That sounds good, isn't it? God being with you. So, Father, we're asking. Church, let's pray for these folks right now. Father, we're asking for the Holy Spirit to just come into you so much so that you know that you know, oh, my goodness, God's with me. And whether you're saying this prayer for the first time or reconnecting, Holy Spirit, come. Spirit, come. May they know that they know that God's with them. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Church family, I'd like you to do one more thing. Could you just put your hand on someone right now? Bless them to be a good evangelist. That means to take the message, the gospel, to other people. Just pray for 30 seconds over your friend. When God shows up. So here's what we're going to do, church. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the afterlife, part two. We're going to talk about hell. And can I just encourage you, if you've got some extra time this week, type in Bible Gateway or eSword or some of those Christian Bible passages where you get the whole Bible on your computer. Type in the word hell. Type in the word Hades. Type in the word Gehenna. Type in the word Sheol. And you'll find out there's a number of different words, and they have slight different meanings. And so if you have time to do a little bit of research yourself this week, I think it'll help you for when we get together next Sunday. So here's the deal, church. We are dismissed. Newcomers, brand new newcomers, we have a book for you right at the door. For those of you that are thinking of making this your church family, you want to belong. If you want to belong and you haven't been to one of our Meet the Pastors luncheons, in like 5 minutes, head up the side door, and right in the overflow rooms here, we have a nice dinner. It's absolutely free. Kids come as well. So God bless you, church. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Receive even more as you're heading home. Bless you, folks.